Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Maxwell, and we are doing my Proud to be Different at 9 p.m. show on the Essence of Success Network. Just wanted to give you a little info. My guest tonight was unable to make it, so it will be just me, myself, and I, and any of my wonderful callers. So if you guys can go ahead and give me a call, the number is going to be 646-727-2914. And my friend Nina is over in the chat room tonight. She'll be able to help moderate and throw out some questions. So if you guys want anything answered, I will go ahead and help out, and as well as Nina. So first topic I wanted to hit tonight was the fact that over on Mercer Island, they've had an E. coli scare in the water. And the city's been told they have to boil all water if they're going to drink it. And all the restaurants, 60-some-odd restaurants on the island, are closed until further notice. They're saying in short term, it's probably just the weekend, but it may go throughout the week. If you're going to be drinking any sort of water, you have to boil it for at least a minute, and you can bathe in it and wash your hands and face. You just can't have it in your system, which is always kind of strange. QFCs and Safeways and other places around there have run out of bottled water, as well as they've had to throw out their fresh fruit, their lettuce, that sort of thing, because they spray the water on them from the misting. And the delis have to throw out their food as well because of it. So the businesses that are around there that are restaurants and bars and that sort of thing can be losing several thousand dollars over the weekend alone over this. So hopefully they can find out that once tested, say on Monday, that they'll be back in the clear. The testing they did Friday was 6 water tests and 4 came up with positive E. coli. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that it can get taken care of by Monday morning and everything can go back to normal. Anyway, so the other thing that I wanted to bring up was I myself, living here in the wonderful world of Seattle, was granted by a dear friend of mine with a couple of free tickets to go see a new movie that's coming out. It's an independent film called Pride. And it's going to be at the Harvard exit, which is on Queen Anne, 7 p.m., this coming up Tuesday. And the movie is about a true story that happened over in England in the UK during the coal miner strike, during the Margaret Thatcher era. And the town was losing money, and there were homes that were going to be foreclosed on and the whole nine yards. And out of nowhere, members of the gay community came to raise money and help these folks with their homes. The strikers were being treated with backlash. And so when the gay folk saw this happening, they said, well, this is the same thing that happens to us. So we're going to try and help these folks raise money and keep their homes going. And it's got an incredible cast. I mean, Bill Nighy's in it, Mel Staunton, Dominic West. And if anybody is a Sherlock fan, Andrew Scott is in it, and he plays Moriarty, the bad guy. So it's a great cast. It's a wonderful looking film. If you go to my Facebook page, I've got the trailer as well as the making of listed on there. So send me a message or give me a call if you've got my number, and we can go chill, watch the movie. It's free. Can't say no to a free film. Speaking of entertainment, the other stuff that I've been into is a few of the new fall preview shows. I haven't watched any of the new series yet. I've just been watching, catching up on the stuff that I've already been into. The two big ones, being the geeky nerd guy that I am, is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the Marvel show on ABC, and then over on Fox is Gotham, which is it's the new show, but I'm sorry, based around the mythos of Batman before he becomes Batman. And it's kind of interesting. I've been thinking about it this week and sort of bouncing them off each other. S.H.I.E.L.D. came across very emotional this first episode, and because they are rebuilding after being taken apart, and I think it's very good to watch because it gives you a sense of where the character standpoints are coming from, what they've had to deal with, and how they've changed from the first season when it was new. And Gotham kind of came across, instead of more like a Batman kind of crime with superhero element in it, it was more kind of like a gang movie. It was like watching Gangs of New York set in current times, or it was very much a Gordon before he becomes the chief of Gotham Police, and when Bruce Wayne loses his parents, it's all happening in the first episode, and so you get this background history that we all know and love, but then you watch it unfold through different eyes, and you've got the background characters of, say, Poison Ivy and the Joker and the Riddler and the Penguin and all these other characters, but they're all fleshed out as living characters. They're not cartoons. And it's really well done. It's really dark. It's a lot more violent than I expected it to be. But I'm really impressed by it. And I really am going to follow this hard. The other show that I absolutely love from last season is, and I keep forgetting the name of it. It's the Ichabod Crane one. And the cast is just stupendous. When you have a strong female lead, like the police officer that is in the, Sleepy Hollow. when you have a strong female lead who happens to be African American, who questions herself and questions her morality that she was brought up on, over supernatural things that take place in the show, as well as dealing with characters that are supernatural, that you're kind of like, okay, you're dealing with a headless horseman, or you're dealing with a character's son who, if you watched last season at all, you see, oh, he's this kindly old gentleman. No, he's actually the reincarnated son of one of the main characters, who happens to be War. And it's like, it turns a lot of stuff on in the ear, but they play it out so well. And it's just a fantastic cast. I love the show. I will probably follow it until it gets canned. And then, of course, my other one, because, yes, I am that gay, Project Runway. Love Project Runway. It's one of the very few of the contest shows that I watch, that and like Great British Bake Off. But I'm telling you, some of the stuff that they can put together within an hour is fantastic. And the Heidi Klum, I can give or take. She doesn't do anything for me because she's very tall and very blonde and very European. But Gunn, everybody loves James Gunn. He is just a fantastic individual. He is so kind-hearted to these young folk that are trying to learn in minutes how to do something. And it all leads up to Fashion Week. So I have my personal picks. I will hold out on it. But I think that this year is going to be really strong because you've got some people who are forces to be reckoned with. And with the aforementioned British Bake Off, I can never say it right. I always have a fumble over my words. Great British Bake Off. You've got this one guy who is a builder as well as being a amazing baker. And he's say, like late 20s, early 30s, incredibly fantastic. He has won week after week, which is unheard of. And this past week, they lost a girl who was about 17, I think she was. She was the only person that's ever been in the competition. She's in high school. She's taking her tests as well as being in this competition, which runs on the weekends. And she was just a brilliant baker. I couldn't even like bake pancakes when I was 17 years old. I microwaved really well. But she was just fantastic. And then there was the big brouhaha that happened some weeks ago where a man had his ice cream cake chucked in the trash bin. So it's been high drama this season, this year with Great British Bake Off. I'm interested to see what happens, and I learn all the best recipes. Haven't cooked anything yet, but oh, they look so good. So, speaking of which, for next weekend, what I'm thinking about doing is I want to pull a bunch of recipes. I'm going to do a Halloween October themed episode. So, for those of you who like to cook, I will be throwing up some recipes and reading them to you over the phone and giving you all kinds of ideas on what you can do this Halloween. So, as I said earlier, unfortunately, my interviewee was unable to make it due to family illnesses. But we'll try and reschedule him later on, and hopefully, he's going to be okay. Fingers crossed. And so, the guest call-in number again is 646-727-2914. And for anybody that's out there that wants to give us a call, say, hey, what's going on? Hopefully things will be kind of calm tonight. It's been an interesting week, and I do apologize for having to reschedule from last weekend because I was heinously sick, and I've still kind of been under the weather up until today. But so if I cough just randomly or sporadically, I do apologize. Excuse me. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to say was is that I was about 2 nights ago, got a hold of an old movie. It was 1970 is when it came out, and it was called The Boys in the Band. And this is a movie that's based off a play, and it was directed by Friedrich, who the following year did The French Connection, and 2 years later did The Exorcist, and then in the 80s did To Live and Die in L.A. The story is based around a group of gay male friends who are throwing a birthday party for one of the friends, and one or the host of the party inadvertently has a old college chum sort of invite himself in to the party, and he is heterosexual, and there is a bunch of question of this going on during the movie. The majority of the cast of these guys had been in the play itself, so they'd been playing these characters as actors and knew them really well for a while. And it's a fascinating study on not just gay male characters, but also just male characters in general and how they interact with each other. And because it was so taboo in 1970, it didn't fare well ticket-wise. And it's interesting because only one real reviewer dissed it in the papers, and that's because she didn't like the director at all, irregardless. But like the New York Times, or not New York, I'm sorry, the LA Times gave it a glowing review, said this was a fantastic film, you must go see this. But because of the era, refused to run any of the newspaper advertisements to promote it. I'd seen it early on, but I didn't understand it. It can be very drama. It's like watching a play because you're seeing this apartment and the way it's built. It all looks like staging for being inside of a theater. And it can be heavy at times. And so I was kind of turned off by that. But now looking at it, I can really see that it really did not fade. That storyline is still very strong, and I think it was really good. And it's probably one of the biggest pieces of gay culture at that time and very influential. A lot of reviewers said that it was campy and the characters were flawed and this sort of thing, but it was still a really good movie. And I'm looking at it going, I know people like that. I know gay men who have that type of personality. I know how they interact with each other. And it's not that far off the beaten path. So I would say, hey, if you want to go check it out, it's probably at the library, or it's an older film, so I'm sure you can find it at your local video store or secondhand store, because I always like going to the secondhand record stores that's got DVDs. And there was a documentary done about the making of it in 2006, I think, with the last remaining members of the cast, because since the majority of the cast members were gay, a lot of them had passed away by the end of the 80s due to various AIDS-related deaths. But it was still a really good documentary. And then I thought to myself after I watched it, well, I wonder who of these cast members I have known since then, because I'm such a media buff, I love to watch all kinds of different things. And so I went through IMDb, which is like second nature to me, just to try and see if I can find out what they've played in since. And like the main character that hosts the party, he's been in a couple of Hellraiser films by Clive Barker, the gay horror author. And just seeing the different later on careers of these actors. Well, one of them supposedly had done a film last in 1988 or 89. And then he just fell off the books. Nobody knew where he went to. Well, that didn't stop me. I went around the internet and I looked through different sites, and everybody had said the same thing, that they couldn't find out where he went to, and they didn't know what was going on with his career, if anything, or what was going on. So I thought, I would hit Facebook, because Facebook is where everybody ends up anyway. Yep. Lo and behold, I found him. He was on Facebook. He's still quite alive, and he lives in Washington State. He lives in Western Washington. And I'm like, holy cow, that's awesome. So, the internet's silly. Speaking of Facebook, as everybody knows, the big brouhaha over the past couple of weeks now with Facebook has been the name issue, where they have been enforcing legal names to be used on accounts instead of chosen names. Now, there's been various different forms of backlash against this. You have drag folk that use their chosen names on their accounts. You have people who had suffered abuse who are living in different names just to get past their, whether it be childhood abuse or abuse from a spouse or whatever. You have people that are transgender who are living under different names, but legally don't have them changed yet. And so Facebook's been very staunch about it, and they haven't given up the goat about it. And so a bunch of people have been jumping over to new social forums that have popped up, LO or Groupster or whatever. The thing this week that's been really interesting that I've seen is people from the different groups that they're jumping into are saying, oh, well, I'm going to this group, and this group is better than this other group. Very high school kind of attitude, and trying to cause drama where there shouldn't be drama. My personal feeling, and I posted this on my own Facebook page, was that it shouldn't matter whether or not you need to get an invite to go to a group and that group is good, or if you can go to a group that has no advertisements and that group is good, and that one is better than the other. The fact that we have choices of whichever groups we want to go to is the most important, and that they allow us to be who we are, that they're not expecting us to change our names, and they're not expecting us to fit into a very black and white sort of box. To me, having those choices, because like when Facebook came along, LiveJournal and MySpace just disappeared off the map at that point, because it was such a blast of technology that we hadn't seen and we were all into. So, honestly, I had mentioned this to somebody earlier, to Nina, in the chat room, and I had mentioned it to her that I'm probably not ever going to lose my Facebook page. It's probably always going to be there unless they become like completely psychotic homophobes, then I'm going to leave within a heartbeat. But I'm also going to be in other pages as well. I'm in Pinster, and I use all these other different forms of social stuff. And I also do the Twitter. So as long as we've got more than one, I'm happy. It's when we get down to only just one choice of having social contact with each other, that's when it kind of feels when it's 1984. The thing that I absolutely adore about Ello, which is ELLO, is it's very beta. It's very old school in the design. Going from that point and those stepping stones is going to be kind of fun to watch and to see how their organization kind of comes up to the plate and feels safe with everybody. at this point, it's about, I have on my computer at 9:24 p.m. So I'm going to take my middle break, my middle theme break. So if you can give me a second, I'm going to get this music started, and we shall go from there. And after this point, as I said, we're still able to pick up some phone calls from you, which is 646-727-2914 here on the Proud to Be Different show with myself, Maxwell, on the Essence of Success Network. So I'm going to be taking a little break here, and we'll be talking with you guys in 1 second. Alrighty, thank you so much for that little break. It was greatly appreciated. One person in the chat room asked if I had seen Scandal and or How to Get Away with Murder. I haven't seen Scandal yet. I didn't watch Scandal before, so I just haven't jumped back into it. The creator of that has done How to Get Away with Murder, which I've seen the trailer for, and it looks incredible. So I'm going to try and catch up with that as quickly as I can. It may take me a week or two, but I'm excited about it. And it looks like that we've got a call coming in from area code 253. And you are live on the show. Who am I speaking with?
This is Linus. Good evening, Maxwell.
Hello, Miss Linus. How you doing?
Doing great, doing great. Enjoying the
Okay.
show.
Oh, I'm so glad
I
to
know I
hear.
came
Now,
in late.
now I know that you are a fan of Scandal. Did you get a chance to watch How to Get Away with Murder, and how was it?
Yes. I would tell everybody watch that. Viola Davis is great. She's a very good actress. But she plays a cold piece in this one, Maxwell. I mean, she's good. But it's like, you're seeing another character that she can play, another side. I was like, ooh, is she a cold piece? But she's a good professor. She's a good professor.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. Now, seeing the trailer for the show, my first instinct was is that it comes across as kind of like the TV series that had been on before called Lie to Me, where you had someone who had this background of just being able to look at things not necessarily in a cold, calculating manner, but just without emotion, and just be able to break things down almost scientifically in subject matters that we wouldn't normally put that placed in, say with murder or whatever. Was that kind of the same sort of feeling with this show?
Well, yeah, it's wrote around the professor, Viola Davis's character. So, yeah, I would say that. But she teaches them. She's teaching law students. She is teaching them how to commit murder. But, yeah, that's the premise. She's a professor. She is a lawyer because she does a case while she's also teaching. But she teaches law students. So instead of like torts and all that, she's like, I'm going to teach you how to commit murder. So they're helping her on this case she's working on, and that she does win it. Excuse me, but she has her own staff too. So, but it's education for the students. So, yeah, it's not too bad. Did you get to see Scorpion or any or Blacklist?
No, I like I said, well, I've been so sick this past week and a half now that I've only caught
Oh
up
my
with ones that
God.
I know. And so I'm like, it's been me and my bed. And
Oh, I'm
like,
sorry, boo.
I've been hanging out, just chilling. But the thing that has been interesting to me this season with the shows that have come up is there's a lot more actual shows, actual stories, actual characters. We're not relying on reality programs anymore, which I'm grateful. I mean, like I
Oh
said before,
God,
don't get me
yes.
wrong, I love my Project Runway and I love my baking shows, but we're not living off of the OC anymore, and we're not living off of remember when Paris Hilton had her show with that Lionel Richie's daughter, and we don't have those
Oh,
anymore, which I'm
Nicole
so
Richie,
grateful
yeah.
for. We actually have shows that have real storylines and that have characters that we can get into that aren't. See, this is the thing that's kind of funny to say is I think we can believe more in a fictional story than we can about real people acting on a reality show. Because they're not
Well, most
real
of that
on
is
reality,
scripted. You
they're
know that,
acting.
yeah, it's not really reality. It's more it's script. They are scripted. I
Oh,
mean,
yeah, it's totally true.
when the first two sisters got kicked off of Atlantic Housewives, that's why we don't hear about them anymore. Because one of them came right out and told it like it was. She said, "I had no plans of going there, being, a person that they would all get mad at." you know, and blah, blah, mm-hmm. this and that. She said, that's not what I got into the show. It was Atlanta, you know, Housewives.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. So she blew the whistle on it, but they hushed her down real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, what's her name? Nina from Atlanta.
Nene.
Nene, sorry, Nene. Regardless of any feelings about her as a human being, she still is out there acting. And she's probably been like the one mainstream breakout person from any of these shows.
True that.
So it's
true that.
I think the one that I watched that I found the most humorous was the New Jersey Ones, which is all the mobster women. And when there was this
yeah.
big huge
Mob Wives.
There was a restaurant scene.
My girl.
Right, where it's all the women and all the family, and they're all sitting there. And one is like trying to basically point out how the other one was a snitch or whatever, and there was this big, huge brouhaha. So the woman got up and overturned the dinner table in the restaurant, which has got to be like one of the most hysterically bad and cheesy things I had ever seen on television. And I watch a lot of television in my life. I was like, you can't make this up. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, you can. Just make sure they're hitting their mark. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, it was kind of like, yeah, this stuff is just, it's BS. It's total BS. But, yes, I mean, there's a lot of shows that I've missed out so far. And my end-all be-all, the Winchester Brothers for Supernatural, starts in a week or two, which I'm very excited about. And then I've got to wait until next year for Sherlock. Because Sherlock is one of those
I
programs.
Love Cumberbatch. Oh, I'm in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
Yes.
Very good actor.
Sherlock is interesting because the program, the episodes themselves run about an hour to an hour and a half, so they're actually like little movies that are only like 3 or 4 episodes per series, or because that's what the UK. And they say it's like so rigorously going through a film, through a movie project. And they've been the two guys, him and the actor that plays Watson, are so incredibly busy with other projects right now. And so they're all juggling all this other stuff, but they're all like, we want to do this. I love Sherlock because it's got the same sort of backbone as Doctor Who, because it's put together by the same folks that do the Doctor Who show.
Oh, that's interesting.
And the actor that plays Sherlock's brother on the TV series is actually
uh-huh.
one of the producers of the show.
Get out of here.
Yeah, because it's two guys that produce it, and they're also they produce the Doctor Who show. And so as the story goes, when I've seen them interviewed, they talk about that when they were doing Doctor Who, they rode the train into London into work at the BBC, and they're like, well, what's the dream project that we always wanted to do that we never got a chance to do? And that was basically Sherlock. And they said, we always wanted to do Sherlock Holmes. So because Doctor Who started doing so incredibly well, almost off the beat when it got the jump start several years ago, they said, whatever you want to do, we'll throw cash at you. Whatever show you want to do next, just let us know. And they both looked at each other and said, Sherlock. So they started doing Sherlock. They had no clue whether or not it was going to do well, but it blew up. It was massive.
Yeah.
And the actor that plays Moriarty, the bad guy, as I mentioned, is going to be in this movie Safe that I'm going to see on Tuesday. Hopefully, if anybody wants to go, the offer is there. I have an extra ticket.
No, I was just giggling. Go ahead.
Oh. All the actors that are in it that have backgrounds that are fairly well known have just become these huge, massive celebrities now, which is very exciting because it's Sherlock Holmes. And I'm probably not giving away too much here, but Dr. Watson, gets married this past season, third season. And the actress that plays his wife is actually his female partner in real life. They live together. They are husband and wife. They just did not legally get married. They refer to each other as partners. So this, if you think about it, leads up to a lot of questions in your brain about, like, practicing for the show, like when they were running lines with each other and that sort of thing. They're married. They came in the same car to the workplace. And they all have sort of this tongue-in-cheek sort of thing going on with each other over the show. Sherlock is the one that I have to wait until next year. It drives me nuts.
Downton Abbey?
I never could get into that. I tried desperately, and it kills me because I love Maggie Smith with a passion, but I just like, not so much. And it was the same thing with Game of Thrones. I couldn't get it. I couldn't get into Game of Thrones, even though everybody under the sun loved that show.
Heck yeah, Game of Thrones. Oh, and Downton Abbey. I was hooked from the very first show. So I know about all of them, but Game of Thrones, been hooked on that from the very first show because that guy is now head casting on that new show on cable, Legend, who was playing Stark the very beginning of Game of Thrones. So he's moved up in the way.
The other, the live competition show, I watch, and this was something I had to explain to my therapist because my therapist thought that I liked America's Got Talent and that and like the other music programs where people come on there and they have to get kicked off or whatever. I never really got into those because they were very superficial. The one that just started this week that I really enjoy is The Voice because it's blind. Yeah. And what I was explaining to my therapist was it's about the talent. It's about what you hear, and then they choose from there. It's not about whether or not the person is a teenager or if they're a hot smoking babe, whatever. It's about whether or not they've got the chops to perform and what one of the four judges can do with them. And it's kind of corny at times because you got the judges playing off each other to try and get one of these hopefuls to get on their team. But I think it's a really good show because it shows the folks that are at home, you don't necessarily have to look a certain way to make it. I mean, come on, you and I both adore Sam Smith. But Sam Smith physically is not a boy band poster child for getting it in music. I mean, he's got really slick hair, but physically he's got a baby face and he's kind of shaped like a pear, and he's really tall and gangly in that sense. And he's not ever going to be buff. He's not ever going to be all these things that we expect physical beauty to be. But he's got the voice that could bring anybody to tears. And there was there was an African American woman who on the second episode of The Voice sang a female version of Sam Smith's first song that came out, Stay With Me or whatever. It was amazing. Everybody was talking.
Wow. I wish I had seen that.
Was that
just now, recently? Or
yeah,
last
that was,
year?
That was just this week. This week.
Okay. I got to watch that.
Go to YouTube or go to Hulu or one of those and track it down. It's really amazing. So I think we're getting out of that now. And I've seen articles where they talk about we're not going to have overly slick produced music anymore. We're going to have talent and people that are in it for the art of the music, which I think is really been lacking in what we do musically.
In some venues, because jazz and fusion and all that is still very good. Blues is still very good. Opera is still very good. R&B, I think we're slowly getting back to singers, but it seems like people are now going toward the neo-soul interpretation.
Oh, yeah. And I
whatever,
love it,
but
I've never been a fan
of rap. I can't stand that. But I appreciate music because I play music, so, you know. But I don't agree with all of it.
For anybody out there listening who doesn't know, Miss Lennis has a program on Friday afternoons where she plays her lovely music choices so that you can get home from work at the end of a very hard week and you can just sort of chill out to listen to some good old-fashioned fun. But for me, it's just the idea that we're getting away from plastic. I mean, what's his name? The guy from, what is his name? The British guy who's, I was like, that is the worst sound that I have ever heard come out of a bag of squawking cats.
Oh, Simon.
Simon Cowell.
Something, yeah.
Simon Cowell has no talent. He's never played in a band. He's never sang in his entire life. All he does is produce, and that's it. And people are saying, oh, well, it's an art form to be able to say, nah, not so much. You have to have some talent yourself to be able to do anything. And
he does for producing. That's his talent, is producing.
He's going. It seems like there's not going to be Simon Cowell's running around like there has been in the past 10, 15 years. We're going to have more people like Farrell, who have talent, who are singers, who have albums out themselves, and who are producing people. And so you've got people who have more musical background helping other people, which I think is really cool. That's my point. I think that we need to have more people that have talent help talent, as opposed to people who are, I think this is how music should sound, even though I can't do anything myself. And it's kind of like the, well, if you can't do, then you teach concept.
Yeah.
Ooh, doesn't that just sound draconian of me?
No. I don't even know why that show is still on. Simon Cowell's original, I can't even think of it.
I know, it's been on forever, but we can't see what it.
Yeah, I can't even see. That's how interested it is. Not anymore. It's not a lot of people watch
it. Yeah, nobody watches it anymore.
Yeah, their ratings have sorely went down, so you're right. But I love The Voice, too. I like that show because it is raw talent.
And it's international, too, because they've got The Voice over in the UK, and they have it in Australia, and they have it in all parts of the world where it's affecting music. And I love watching now Eurovision, which has been on since the 60s, I think, 50s or 60s, which is the music competition that is all of Europe. They get together once a year, and they throw their talent into a bag, and they see who is the winner. And it's one person out of all of Europe that has a chance to win. And this past year they had the drag performer, Gauthier Wurst, who won, who sings. Basically, the song that she won with sounds like a James Bond theme song, and which is fantastic. but she had a beard and it threw everybody off, and now Russia's like, oh, we're not going to have anything to do with the Eurovision anymore because it's forcing us all to be gay or accept gays. And it's like, no, it's about the music. Did you hear her? She's fabulous. But I love watching those programs because you get these people who are just stunning with their music, and it's not about how they look. So, yeah. I don't know how this tangent started, but that's kind of where I was going at some point. And there hasn't been a lot of movies. I mean, because it's winding down to the end of the year, so there's not been a lot of movies recently that I've been really interested in. I want to see this Pride movie that I'm going to go see on Tuesday. But there hasn't been a lot that's out there that I've been interested in, so to speak. It's not going to hit until next spring when all the big blockbuster films for the summer start again. Because I think we're going to have another, handful of Marvel films. Some big comic book movies out there.
Yes, that's definitely the way that they've been going, you know. And it's making money for them. It's making money. The Marvel films and the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, here's something that's kind of funny that I found out this week. Keanu Reeves, the man who seems to never go away, is saying yes to all of these sequels of films. He wants to do another Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure film, which will be the third. He said yes to another Speed film. Whether or not we actually know if Sandra Bullock's going to be in it is, well, I don't know. She's got to put a kid through college, so I'm sure she's got to need the money somehow. Then it's got a TV series that's going up too, and it's like, we are just going to be surrounded at one point by Keanu Reeves, and the man has never aged. I'm sorry. I don't know what is in this boy's DNA, but he has looked exactly the same since the 80s. And it's not natural.
Maybe he doesn't age. He ages quite well.
He sleeps in Tupperware. He has enough money where he has like help come and wrap him in plastic wrap at night before he goes to sleep. There is just something not natural. Because he's had a lot of dog films.
Well, he's got a new one coming out now because I went to see Denzel's new movie, and he's got a movie coming out, I think, in November, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, the last one he did that was a Japanese samurai kind of film with special effects and stuff just blew. It disappeared out of the radar within 24 hours. He just has not had, like, really good luck or choices with stuff. So, it's going to be kind of quiet for a while, which means more time spending at home watching stuff on DVD. But for the most part, that's kind of, from my perspective, where I've been lined with entertainment, rereading some of my old classic books that I love. Where are you with movies right now, Ms. Lanas?
Well, I just went last night, opening night, to see Denzel Washington's version of The Equalizer. Well, I shouldn't say he is, but the same guy that directed him in Training Day, Farouk, I can't think of his name. Anyway.
I saw him interviewed for that, and it looks really good.
Yeah, it does. The action is good, and to me it stayed pretty close to the show, the way the show was. But I don't know, some people felt different because I was reading some of the critics' reaction, and they were like, "Yeah, okay, yes, there was violence. You know, it seemed to be a violent movie, but this one is better." I'll put it like this: he nailed this. This is better than Training Day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a better film, but it's close to. So I don't know. Did you ever watch Equalizer? See that show?
I didn't.
It came out, I think, in the late 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know they had a TV series for a while.
Yes, uh-huh. It was a British actor.
Yeah, and I remember seeing the TV series, but I never saw the movie. So it's interesting to see. I don't know if I'd see it in the theater, but I'll probably see it at some point in time. But I'm intrigued by it. So, and just to, if you didn't hear at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that we've got this scheduled for an hour, so I've got a few minutes left before the end of the program. But
okay.
I will be doing a recipe-themed episode next week where I'm going to be giving out Halloween, October, all kinds of festive-type recipes that I'll be searching for this upcoming week. If anybody out there has any recipes they love for Halloween or whatever, send them to my Facebook page. I'd love to see them. I'm going to be going nuts for stuff because I already have like a bunch of recipes that I have that I don't ever cook with, but I just like looking at them thinking, wow, that sounds good. So that's kind of where we're going to be at for next week. And yeah, so food themed. But I do appreciate you calling in, Lennis. It was wonderful getting a chance to talk to you.
Yes, I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed the show. Well, I'm going to let you go. And thank you so much. I'll go back in the chat room and keep Miss Nina company.
Okay, thanks. Love you, Darryl.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, yeah, we got a few minutes left here. I'm going to go ahead and run my last track for the show. I love and adore all of my fans that are out there that have been listening, and I'm very grateful for it. And as I said, next week we're going to be running some recipes for the Halloween season, lots of pumpkin stuff, and hopefully all will be well. So you guys hang in there, and I will be back next week at 9 p.m. on Saturday, and we will be chatting then. Have yourselves a good week, and I'll talk to you later. Love you!
Darling, stay with me.